If you was here last week, you would have known that Ken brought a message for parents and said, you know, there's a covenant, we serve a covenant God, and it's for us and our household, and we don't want to hang on to our children, hang on to that. God has not finished with them yet. They will come into salvation. And if I said last week, if you don't have any children, I have plenty to go around, so you can pray for mine. In Scripture, how many of you have done this? You've read the same passage of Scripture multiple times, and then suddenly a phrase just jumps out at you, and you've read it before, but it has a significance. And that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. And it's a portion of Scripture that I've read multiple times. That's not this one. It's a portion of Scripture, and just one sentence jumped out at me and spoke to me in a different way, and I hope it will speak to you. Now, I want to set the scene by simply saying this. In Matthew 4, verse 19, Jesus says, "Come follow me and I will send you out." But in the King James, it says, "Come follow me and I will make you. I will make you into fishers of men." And when we think about that, to be made, there's some craftiness? No, that's not. Handiwork that needs to be done. We need to be molded. We need to be shaped to become who God wants us to become. Scripture talks about it as, he is the potter, we are the clay. And we know that he makes some things for noble and some for ignoble, but he's the potter, we are the clay. And sometimes I have a picture at times where I'm thinking, God just, you know, squashed me back together, put me back on the wheel and went, I need to do this again. There's some imperfections I need to take out. And this time and time that we are being challenged and encouraged. And I was thinking today during worship, you know, Lord, you've gifted all of us. And Lord, what have you gifted me in? And I like to think that I have a gift of encouragement. I want to encourage. I want to be somebody that will continue to see the best in others. Even when someone walks over me or malign or say something which is not helpful or useful. I want to be a person that can see the best without compromising the truth. So I want to be an encourager, and I want to encourage you afresh today that God will make you. There's times that in my life, I could use it as an illustration. I can think that, Lord, what is it that I'm good at? Lord, what is it you want me to do? And God will make me into who I need to be. God will shape me, and he will shape you and encourage you. But we have a journey that we go on. And it's a pilgrimage, if you like. We're on our way. We're going from glory to glory. Jesus Christ is coming back, yes? For a victorious church, yes? Not a depleted church, not an inferior church, but a victorious church. We are the people, we're called his church, yes? He's coming back for us. So I want to bring this encouragement to us today. And I want us to look at the whole area of being strengthened, being encouraged. When we look through Scripture in Deuteronomy 11, verse 1, it says, "Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements and his decrees." I was talking to Arthur earlier, and I said to him, and we said to each other, basically, God says, you do this and I'll do this. You don't do this and I won't do that. And for us as his people, it's still the same. We look through Old Testament, it runs through New Testament. You know, God has requirements for his people. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be refined. He wants us to be those of joy and of good heart. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be all that he's called us to be. But there are certain things that we need to do in order to open the way for God to bless us in a certain way. It's not rocket science, is it? If we go down the avenue of unbelief, if we go down that road, that pathway of sin, sinfulness, then God's not going to bless us, is he? So we need to look at what he says to us. We need to repent, which is turn away from and go the opposite direction and go towards his plans and purposes. Love the Lord, your God, and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws and his commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw or experienced the discipline of the Lord, your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched hands upon his people. There are, our children have not experienced what you have experienced, what we have experienced. There are other people within the world, they can be older than you, but they're still a child in the eyes of the Lord because they've only just come into faith. Or those that have not even been born yet, not in an earthly sense, but in a spiritual sense. They've not been born of the Spirit of God. They haven't experienced what you've experienced. So there's things in your life that you can take hold of and it can be used to proclaim kingdom. Yeah, but I've had some tough times. Well, use them tough times. You know, if you look at a tough time, if you look at a valley experience, if you look at a time in your life where it's been difficult and you imagine it as a stone and you need to cross the river. Well, every time you put a stone in front of you, it's a stepping stone to get to the other side. So even our hardships can be used for God. Even the time that we was in the pit can be used for God. I went to see Jenny last week and I was frantically thinking to myself, someone said this to me and I can't remember who it was. And I thought, was it my sister? No. And then I saw this young man walk in and I remembered it was Jenny. And I went to see Jenny and she's, she won't mind me saying this. She's in a room on her own. She's in a bed where she cannot get out of it. And we had a conversation and I did a spiritual thing. I had to buy her some Dairy Lee. And went back and we're talking and she's smiling and we're chatting. I get the best out of her. And she said, well, she said, it could be worse. There are people in a worse position than me. I need to be thankful. So in the natural, you look at Jenny and you think, what have you got to be thankful for? We know as Christians, we're homeward bound, yes? But in the natural, you look at someone and you think, wow, that's a statement of fact that I'm blessed in my circumstance. Do I want to be in this circumstance? Not at times, I want to be somewhere else. But there are things that other people around us won't see and we've seen them. There's experiences, there's the good, the bad and the indifferent. There's times of plenty and there's times of lack that other people haven't experienced but you have. So my word today is be strong and be courageous. For the Lord your God is with you. You're not on your own, are you? You know, we're not on our own. We're part of a family. Not just the family of believers here in Grace Church. Not just the churches around down in Market Stourbridge. Not just King's Lynn from Norwich to Peterborough. But globally, we're part of a worldwide family. And when we look at what's happening at times, it could be so easy and we could be forgiven for saying, woe is me and everything's going wrong. But God has a plan and a purpose. He said, be strong and be courageous, for I am with you. And I want to use his word just to encourage us to keep our eyes fixed on him. This is a story of Gideon, and many of you will know the story of Gideon. This is where I saw this phrase, and it just jumped out at me. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Have you ever pondered on that? You know, these are God's people that have been blessed, and yet they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. You see, there's times where God's people can do the wrong things. If you do this, then I'll do that. If you don't do this, then I won't do that. You know, so often as church, I'm talking globally now, as church, we see the promises of God and we lay hold of them promises and we declare them promises, yet we're doing the opposite of what God called us to do. He says, give. He says, forgive. He says, walk. He says, stand. He says, be part of what I'm doing. And yet we can walk away. And there's many people, and the sad reality is, you will know them. Many people who says, well, I don't know if I can believe in a God of love who allowed this to happen in my life. Well, they took their eyes off of God, haven't they? And they put them on themselves. It's just like Peter when he's on the water. I'm encouraged by Peter because he had foot and mouth disease as well. Every time he walked, he put his foot in his mouth, didn't he? He said the wrong thing, but he had the right heart. And he says, Lord, if it's you, call me to come and I'll come. And Jesus says, come. And if we use that scripture, come and I will make you. Well, he put his eyes, fixed his eyes upon the Lord, and he got out of the boat and he started to walk on the water. And then it says, and because of the squall, the wind and the waves, the circumstances, the situation, because of his bank account, or whatever you want to use an analogy, he started to look down at his feet. And when he looked at his feet, he started to sink, and Jesus grabbed hold of him and pulled him up. You of little faith. Yet the Bible says if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, so we only need a little faith at times. Now, I'm poetic, and I like to think this could have happened. Scripture doesn't tell us it did happen. As he's sinking, Jesus picks up and he says, go back, come again. See, God gives us an opportunity. He gives us another opportunity. So if we fail and we take our eyes off of him and we start to sink, I believe that the Spirit of God picks us up and says, repent and try again. So I want to encourage us to fix our eyes upon him, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Now I want to read this portion of scripture to us, if I may. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Now the Midianites were ruthless. These were not nice people. Because of the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain cliffs and caves and strongholds. They ran away, in other words, they hid. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and they ruined the crops all the way to Gaza. And they did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them, all their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian was so impoverished, they so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Why is it? I've done this, I'm not saying you have, but why is it that so many of us, God's people, we wait until it's impossible and then we cry out to the Lord for help? Why not when we're in the boat, in the safety and security of the dry land, while we're in the boat, don't we say, Lord, you need to help me because I'm never going to step out? Why do we wait until we sink before we cry out to the Lord for help? And so often that's what happens. And my encouragement to myself and to you and to others who may listen to this is even if you let it get that far, you cry out to the Lord. And he will answer. Why? Because you're his children. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. I delivered you from the hand of the oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. Remember the portion of scripture before where it says, you know, your children, their children hadn't seen what God had done, but they had. They understood what had happened. And the stories would go on, and there would be a legend. There would be from today going forward, this is what God did. We built a pillar. We built an altar to say, look what the Lord has done. When we look back, we can look forward because God did it then, he can do it now. And here we are in a situation where God's people are being oppressed. And it says that he brought you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites. And there's times where God's people, this is a generic message, it's not like aimed at you and not aimed at me, it's aimed at God's people. There is a time that we will worship other gods, whatever that God may be. To some people it's their car. I like cars, but I don't worship them. I like nice things, but I don't worship them. I worship, hopefully, just the Lord. I honor my family, I love my wife, but I don't worship her in the same sense that I worship God. But there are many Christians, God's people, because we're talking about God's people here, who worship and go after other gods. They go after false idols. But you have not listened to me, God says. The angel of the Lord came down under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. So I just want to pause there. We could do a whole message on this particular portion of scripture. He was so fearful, Gideon, that he was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, I believe this is true information. If it's not, then let me know. But when we look at the threshing, where they threshed the wheat, that normally be up on the hill, so that when they threw it up in the air, the wind would catch it and blow the chaff away. The wine press was normally down the valley, so that when they picked the grapes, they would go downhill. They didn't have to push the carts uphill. So he was in the wrong place doing what he needed to do because he was so fearful. So if you get the picture, that this man is afraid. He's afraid of what may happen to him. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, I want to say that to you and to myself today. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. You might not feel mighty, but it's not about what we feel, is it? About what God says. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. "Pardon me, Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about?" When they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." He could only wonder about the signs and the wonders. But the same portion of scripture that we read earlier, "If you do this, if you follow my commands, I will bless you all the days." And yet he's coming here and saying, "Lord, where are you? You've abandoned me." And sometimes we can think that God has abandoned us, but he hasn't. It's just that we can't hear him and we can't see him because we've been blinded by the God of this age. So he continues and he says this, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have.'" And that's what I really want to say to us today. Go in the strength that you have. Whatever it is you're trying to achieve, whether it's something for your family, it's in the workplace, whether it's to do with your finances, whether it's to do with church life, whatever it may be, because we're in the world, aren't we? But we're not of the world. But there's times where you know that God is speaking to you. So for me, I know that God spoke to me many years ago, and I would start to work it out in my own intellect. And go, "Well, if I do this, then I could do that. And then maybe people will respect me in this area. If only I was a bit taller, a bit smarter. If only I had more finances. If only my hair wasn't receding." Whatever it may be, I could be making excuses up. Yet God said to me, the same as he's saying to you, go in the strength that you have. Not in the strength that you think you might have if you do something else. Whatever it is, whether it's a relationship, whether it's serving, whether it's your health, your well-being, whatever it may be, start where you are. Go in the strength that you have. Because God saw something in Gideon that no one else could see, not even him. And I want to say to you afresh today that God sees something in you that maybe others don't see. Arise, mighty warrior. What, me? I'm just a humble, whatever it may be. Go in the strength that you have. So whatever it is the Lord is speaking to you today about, then go in the strength that you have. If he's talking to you about X, Y, or Z, then go in the strength that you have. Start where you are. Don't wait until you achieve. You know, I've had people say to me, once I do this, then I'll be able to do that. I'm not going to name it because some people are in the room. But once God's done this for me. So for me, let me give you a true story. I remember when I was born again, spirit-filled, and I was a charismaniac in the early days, and I really grabbed hold of God's word. And there was a message on giving. How many of you like those messages? I didn't like that message. And my wife says to me, "I think we should start giving." And I'm going, how can I give? I'm earning £200 less than what I'm spending already because of interest rates. How can I give? How can I give out of what I haven't got? And Susan said to me, "Well, let's just start somewhere." See, if I'd have waited until I was earning enough money to give hundreds of pounds, I would have been waiting a long time. I went in the strength that I had. I was encouraged, I was convicted, I was convinced that this was God, this was right, and we started, and then God did the rest. But if I'd have waited until this was right in my life, I wouldn't have seen God's blessing on the way. When it comes to our health, when it comes to our wholeness, I can use us as an example without picking on anyone else. When we became Christians, Susan's health deteriorated. But she didn't blame God for the lack of mobility. She hung on to God. She hung on to his promises. Go in the strength that you have. And that's what I really want to say to us today. Go in the strength that you have. And it says this: am I not sending you? See, God will not ask you to do anything that he knows you cannot accomplish. He will not give you more than you can bear. He won't ask you to lead worship if you can't sing. He won't ask you to minister his word if you can't speak. He won't ask you to dig a hole if you have no legs. Spiritually, he won't ask you to climb a mountain unless he knows you can get to the other side. So go in the strength that you have. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, Lord, Gideon replies. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. I am the least. My clan is the weakest. I am the least. And maybe you can look at other people within the church, the body of Christ, and say, Lord, why don't you pick them? Because they're far smarter than I am. They've been to university. They've been to this college and they've achieved that. Why don't you use them? Because God says that I want to use you. And this man, he felt he was the weakest and the least of his family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you. So these are not my words. This is his word. It's written down. But I want this, his word, to permeate into your spirit. I want us to be a people that will, at times, yes, we may feel weak, but our weakness, we can operate in his strength. Because when we do that, he gets the glory. If in the natural I did the things that I can naturally do, that's just what God has gifted me with. But if I do things which are not natural to me, but God's called me to do them, then he gets the glory. He gets the honor. So I want to encourage us afresh today as we look through his word together. And in Acts 3, starting at verse 1, one day Peter and John was going to the temple, a time of prayer. It's the gate beautiful, and you know this portion of scripture. They saw a beggar, and this beggar was asking for finances. He was expecting something. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. Now we need to ask ourselves, what was it that they had? Did they have any more supernatural power than God's given you? Did they have any more insight than God's given you? Were they born again of God's Spirit? Have you been born again of God's Spirit? You see, to be born again is simply when we repent and ask Jesus to come into our lives. He quickens himself within us. So we're born of his Spirit. It's not anything that we need to be afraid of. It's the Spirit of God coming in and bringing alive the dead areas of our lives. Was he any more anointed than you can be? No, I don't believe he was. But what he was obedient. You see, obedience, the Bible says, is better than sacrifice. There's times that we'll give and we'll give and we'll give of our time and our resources and our finances, our abilities. But we won't trust that God will do the rest. And there are other times where we walk out, we step out of the boat and we start to walk on the water and Jesus will encourage us. But we need to give him all the glory and we need to receive what he has for us so that we can give it to others. And I believe Peter had received from the Lord something precious that he could give away. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have faith to believe that this Lord and Savior of mine will heal you. I have faith to believe that he will sustain you. I have faith to believe. And so I want to encourage us to have faith to be who God's called us to be. Go in the strength that you have and see what God will do. Don't wait until things are worked out the way that you want them to be worked out. Don't wait until you have enough money in the bank to be able to do what God has called you to do. There's the difference. It's not man, it's God. When you believe that God has said something, he will accomplish it because God said it. Does that make sense? But if I say something and encourage you to do something and God hasn't, you may fail. So we need to be assured that God has said it. In Acts 9, verse 17, Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. If you read this portion of scripture, if you understand, Saul was the persecutor of the way. Obviously, God changed his name to Paul, but we're talking about Saul here. He'd spent his entire life being educated. He had zeal for what he thought God called him to do. And actually, he was doing the opposite of what was right. He was doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. But God laid hold of him because he saw potential. Now, when we look at somebody who's doing things that we don't want them to do, when they're saying things we don't want them to say, we can see the humanness. But God saw the potential. And when hands was laid on this man, something changed. It says, that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. You see, there's times where we may feel weak. As we ask the Lord to fill us afresh, he'll fill us with his strength. He'll fill us with his love. He'll fill us with his forgiveness. He'll fill us with his resolve. He'll give us a passion to move forward. And what happened with Saul was he took the zeal that was anti-Christ and he enabled it to be for Christ. And he started to go out. And the Lord says, you will know what it is to suffer for me, but be of good cheer. And he started to preach to the Gentiles. He saw tens of thousands of conversions. Yet if we'd have looked at the natural, we wouldn't have picked him. And when God looks at us, when others look at us sometimes, they won't pick us, but God did. So go in the strength that you have. Be encouraged to be who God's called you to be. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh so that you can give what God has given you to others. In Psalm 47, verse 8, just a reminder, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. If you think things are a mess, if you look into the different media outlets and you look at the doom and gloom around the world, you could be easily mistaken to think we're doomed. But I want to remind us as people, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. And when he says enough is enough, then it's enough. When he comes back, he's coming back for you and me. But in the meantime, be strengthened, be encouraged, mighty warrior. Go forward in the strength that you have. Go forward in what you have, where you are, what you've been given, what you're doing now. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day of salvation, as long as it's called today. So today, be reminded that he's seated on his holy throne. And he wants to pour out and pour into our lives in Joshua 6, verse 14. So on the second day, they marched around the city. Now, this is a story that you will be familiar with. There's a wall, and that wall needs to come down. And these individuals, they didn't go in with battering rams. They were just obedient to what God had called them to do. The walls of Jericho. There's been songs about the walls of Jericho. Just imagine it. You've got this fortified city that you cannot penetrate humanly. And God says, walk around? Seems foolishness, doesn't it? But what's foolishness to us is not to God. But what they did is they acted in faith. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times. If we look through scripture, if we look into Bible, we'll talk about the number of completion. And that number is seven. And so it's significant. There's lots of other numbers in the Bible that are not weird and wonderful. They're actually factual. And they're quite interesting to see what they mean and what the meaning is. But this isn't a message for that. This is just to say that God had already brought the end before he asked them to start at the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning from the end, and everything in the middle. See, I am. He is. We are. Because he is the I am. Now, I know that sounds complicated. Listen to it again. But there's truth in that. We can do what God has called us to do because we are in him. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city seven times in the same manner. In the same manner. They were doing the same thing they'd done before, but nothing had happened those other six times. And there's times where you will do the same things and you may not see a result, but there is something happening in the heavenlies. Lord, I've been praying for this breakthrough, but there is no breakthrough. Well, he is the Lord of the breakthrough. So there will be a breakthrough. We just need to be obedient. We just need to get out of the boat. We need to start in the strength that we have and allow him to do the rest. So I want to encourage us that if you've been doing the same thing time and time again, because God has said so, he will bring the breakthrough. Just as it happened here. The seventh time around, they went, the priests sounded the trumpet blast and Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Put yourself in there. In their position, we're just walking around. And God says, shout, and the walls are going to come down. God says, pray, and you'll release my blessing. Surely you want me to do something more than just pray. No, God says, pray, and see the walls come down. Be persistent. Don't give up. Be of good cheer. Take the little faith that you have and believe that the mountain will be moved. Start where you are now. Go in the strength that you have. In Isaiah 40, 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increase the power of the weak. Are you weary? He gives you strength. Do you feel weak? He gives you power. Arise, mighty warrior. You see, when we look through scripture, if we just take an isolated scripture, we can make it say anything we want it to say. We can just manipulate it. But when we look through the thread that goes through the Bible, there's the law of the first mention. We see where God first mentioned it, and then it will continue through the Bible, and we'll see the truth in it. So it says, he gives strength to the weary. Do you think Gideon was weary? I think he was. He was not just weary, he was petrified, he was terrified, he was hiding. He needed to live, so he was hiding away in a place that he wouldn't be found. And it says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. In my weakness, God says, he will be your strength. Go in the power that you have. Go in the strength that he's already given you, knowing that if he has said it, he will accomplish it. In Isaiah 59, verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who was on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips. I'll read that again. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. His covenant with his people. Who are we? We're his people. My spirit, whose spirit? His spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wasn't just poured out at Pentecost for those individuals that were there, that were present. His Spirit was poured out for all of us. You know, all of his people in Joel, it says, will prophesy, his sons and his daughters, his old and his young. They'll have dreams, they'll have visions. That's for us, his people. My Spirit, who is on you, will not depart from you. See, God is with you. And if he is for you, then who can be against you? My words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips and on the lips of your children and the lips of their descendants from this time and forever, says the Lord. When will God leave us? Never. When will he forsake us? Never. When will he give up on you? Never. Go in the strength that you have. But we have an obligation as his people to follow his commandments, to be who he's called us to be, to do what he's called us to do. So let's just close in prayer, if I may, and, you know, ask a question. When we look at Peter and he said, silver and gold I don't have. Even if he said, silver and gold I have, but I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to give you something more precious. Get up and walk. May we be a people that say, Lord, fill me afresh that I may give out of the abundance that I have to others. That fill me with your spirit that I may see you more clearly. Fill me with your spirit that I may have the strength to continue to move forward. Church, as we pray, as we ponder on this, when Jesus was in the garden, he was overwhelmed with what was set before him. He understood the burden, the weight of man's sin. He understood that the sin of mankind was going to be laid upon his shoulders. He understood that, because scripture tells us. And it says, going a little further, he prayed and said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. So if things appear tough, then go a little further. Go in the strength that you have, mighty warrior. Ask God to fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit. Let's do it now. Lord, would you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we may be strengthened, encouraged, that we may see you more clearly, that when the wind of adversity blows in our life, we'll take our eyes off of our feet and we'll fix them upon you, the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of our faith. That, Lord, when the mountain seems too tall, you'll give us the strength to overcome it. Lord, when the circumstances seem to be against us, you'll give us the faith to keep moving forward. Lord, we pray that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Give us a joy that is boundless. Give us a hope that is hopeful. Give us, Father God, a desire to pray and praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. And we, God's people, said, Amen. Let's close in worship and let's give all of our thoughts to him.